In what was one of the most depressed areas in the country, a Native American tribe has proven to be an unlikely economic engine. The Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians has created an industrial and recreational empire in rural East Mississippi. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports the tribe is bringing along its neighbors, too.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
No, this isn't Orlando. It's nightfall in the red clay hills of Neshoba County, Mississippi, and the sky is lighting up with bright colors.
Gather now to make star-tacular.
Fountains surround a crowd, spewing giant shapes of water. Spectators, young and old, gaze up, spellbound by the show. It happens every weekend night at the Pearl River Resort. A spread of Las Vegas-style casinos, hotels, golf courses, and more, all located on the Mississippi Choctaw Indian Reservation, 35,000 sprawling acres. The resort is the most visible, but only a part of the tribe's 23 economic enterprises, which include a manufacturing plant in Mexico. A number of Fortune 500 companies do business with the Choctaws. Factories here produce everything from American greeting cards to the little plastic utensils you get at McDonald's. It's what longtime Choctaw Chief Philip Martin calls a reservation economy, something that was painfully absent when he was growing up here.
Too many people were on welfare, not a chance or a job. It was a place of poverty, just like a third world.
Indeed, Harvard researchers described miserable economic and health conditions on the reservation. In the 1960s, nearly all tribal housing was considered substandard. 90% of the homes here had no indoor plumbing, and one-third had no electricity. There were institutional barriers to education and opportunity as well. Tribal member Bea Carson says she realized that as a young woman trying to have lunch with a white friend.
And we went to a restaurant, and I kept feeling this overwhelming feeling that people were just looking at me. Then it wasn't too long after that the owner came up and said, "You need to go to the back door." And I said, "Thank you, but I'm not." And I just up and walked out that door.
Now an associate gaming commissioner for the tribe, Carson is well respected in Neshoba County and often invited to sit at the table with community leaders.
The reservation people have had their own history of segregation and mistreatment and racism, you know, put upon them. But the tribe as a whole have dealt with it and have decided to move forward despite all of that.
The force that has propelled the tribe forward is 78-year-old Philip Martin. Other than the displays of elaborate Choctaw-made basketry, his office at tribal headquarters looks like that of a high-powered corporate CEO. Spacious desk, long mahogany boardroom table, and expansion plans displayed on an easel. His aides slide their hands into infrared devices to pass through doors. Martin was first elected chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaws in 1959, shortly after he returned home from the Army.
I came here with the idea that I'll get a job and prosper from it, you know. But that was not to be. I looked all over the state of Mississippi, but I was not able to find a decent job to make a living.
So he set about creating jobs for tribal members by asking industries to locate on the reservation, something that had never been done before.
So I was a rebel at the start for change, though. And so why not bring a manufacturing plant to the reservation? Along that time, small industry were moving south, and Mississippi had several. I said, if they can do it, we can do it too.
Martin says the tribe had everything industry was looking for, abundant land, water, and people desperate to work. But his vision was met with resistance, especially by the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. Slowly, he worked to break away from government control and create a place for factories on the reservation.
My idea then was to build an industrial park, have a place, connect water and sewer and all those kind of things together, and we did all that. but nobody came. And so I was beginning to believe that maybe the Bureau of Indian Affairs was right. You know, nobody was interested.
That was 1971. It wasn't until 8 years later that Packard Electric agreed to locate here, and the tribe started making the electrical harnesses for Ford trucks. The venture was a success, and word spread quickly about the work being done here. More industries came. Things were getting better on the reservation. The tribe built new schools and a hospital. Then, in the 1990s, the state legalized gambling, and the Choctaws opened their first casino, the Silver Star, not much larger than a double-wide trailer.
We built things on low scale. We didn't start with a large casino because look where we're located, among the depressed part of the country.
But people came pouring in. The Silver Star has since expanded four times, and the tribe opened a more contemporary casino and hotel across the highway, the $177 million Golden Moon. It's an unexpected sight in the middle of the lush green rolling hills of East Mississippi, a swooping 28-story ramp-shaped building topped by a shimmering globe. The tribe is now Mississippi's second largest employer with an estimated $1.2 billion economic impact on the state, and more than 60% of its 9,000 jobs are held by non-Indians. The tribe's latest project is to take the casino profits and make the area a destination to attract families.
We agreed to invest in developing a resort. And if you look around, you'll see that we have a good start. We have a 12-acre water park. Instant success. I mean, everybody, every kid in the state of Mississippi and West Alabama has been here.
Children chase waves at the giant wave pool at the Geyser Falls Water Park. Their parents watch from the nearby Hard Rock Beach Club, complete with a man-made white sand beach. The Pearl River Resort is bringing thousands of people to Neshoba County and the nearby town of Philadelphia, Mississippi. Officials say the tourism boom hit them unprepared. Brenda Mills is the city clerk.
Of course, when the tribe started saying they were going to build a casino, it was kind of like people around here were like, okay, we'll see if that, you know, it's hard to imagine a casino sitting out there in the county, but they did it. So we finally realized, okay, we can sit here and let everything pass us by going out there, or we can try to catch them on the way.
Now officials are working with the tribe, trying to take advantage of its success and of Chief Martin's connections. Unlike years ago, when townspeople say he couldn't even get a haircut here, today the red carpet is rolled out. A local group regularly goes with the chief on the tribe's plane to Washington, D.C. to meet with the state's congressional delegation.
It's easier to get those meetings with Philip Martin with you. I mean, he goes, he helps. I mean, you know, he opens doors.
There's a freshness on the reservation, a modern firehouse, health clinics, a new grocery store, and a mall under construction. Tribal profits now pay for any member to go to college, a full scholarship, including room and board, and even a laptop computer. All significant advancements for the tribe, says Chief Martin. But more important, he says, tribal members can find work here and don't have to leave the reservation to better themselves.
The big thing for us is, if we're going to maintain our culture and historical things that are Choctaw, then we need to stay here.
The Mississippi Band of Choctaws has tripled to 9,200 members under Martin's tenure and is one of the highest native language retention rates in Indian country.
And you can see, I can see, being somebody that was here during the Depression time, is that people are proud, people are holding their head up, and they're voting, they're building new homes.
It's a bright and breezy day in the River Oaks subdivision, a collection of spacious new homes with two-car garages and manicured lawns. 35-year-old Kevin Briscoe, a Choctaw juvenile court judge, lives in a peach-colored ranch with daylilies blooming around the front stoop.
This is my home. Come on in.
With its teal green walls and formal drapes, the home looks like a page out of Southern Living. He's converted one of the three bedrooms into a sitting room.
Like I say, if you just want to have a casual conversation, you can come in here and read a book.
Sliding glass doors take you to the backyard, where there's a koi pond and a swimming pool. Briscoe says having a subdivision like River Oaks is something special.
Choctaws can live like in a higher class like everybody else, like maybe the white society have these subdivisions where they're only exclusive, only if you have the money. And this is sort of similar. I guess we can live in nice homes too in a subdivision.
Briscoe is proud of his Choctaw paid education, job, and home, and to call Chief Martin a neighbor. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
That story was produced by Marisa Peñalosa. More about the Mississippi Band of Choctaws and some photographs at npr.org.